The body found in a burning vehicle at a construction site is the woman who made that call. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
No arrests have been made. The fashion world is mourning the loss of Italian fashion designer Roberto Cavalli. He was one of the biggest names in fashion, with his distinctive trademark style, both flamboyant and glamorous. Cavalli's flashy creations attracting celebrity fans for decades. Roberto Cavalli was 83. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged thingers.
Winged thingers! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingers.
The winged thingers.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd and his regular guest, Trigvi Olsen, were out and about with a simple theme. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, we're doing that because we love living here. And we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate Todd doing that.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Exceed the new standards, these systems must take corrective action within 5 years. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Tune in Monday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. The trial of the century. Donald Trump will have all the coverage 4 to 6 statewide.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Lots of sunshine for today and warm with highs in the low 70s. A mostly clear sky tonight, falling to the low 50s for the low. And more sunshine for Sunday, high mid 70s. On Monday, sun continues and breezy again, high upper 70s. Right now it's 70 degrees.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
How's it going, everybody? This is Mark Becker here on the Rational Revolution here with Civic Media. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, it's such an honor to be doing this every week. And I again, yes, thank you all for coming. We've got a good show for you today. I have my dear friend Carlton, who's here. We had such a good discussion last time, and there was so much that I wanted to get to that he's back. So we're going to do a few segments with Carlton, and then I'm going to share a story with all of you that at the end of the show that I hope brings you something. What it brings you, I don't know, but stick around for that, because I'm gonna share something that that I experienced with my family, and I want to bring it to you as well. So, but to say hello, Carlton Huffman, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing very well. It's good to be back with you. I know we talked a little bit of baseball last week. I'm hurting a little bit on that front with my Braves dropping a series to the Mets, but we got a long way between now and October. So
oh my gosh,
I've got plenty of time to get it together,
dude. My so Red Sox guy over here, they're about to get swept by the. As Todd the God, the producer, is throwing things at me over from the thank God there's a glass window. No, they were up 5-1 2 days ago and ended up losing. They were tied 3-3 last night to the Orioles, and they dropped 6 in the 10th, and they lost. It's like, oh my gosh, the best player, Trevor Story, is going to be out for the season. It's we're hurting over here too.
It's a reminder that both in baseball and politics, anything can happen.
Right. And we're going to talk about some of those anything can happen moments. But I wanted to kind of recap some of the stuff we talked about last week. One of the big things, you know, because just for those of you who are listening, Carlton Huffman is a dear friend of mine. I met him while I was chairman of the Brown County Republican Party, and he was an official here with, I think it was RPW. And, you know, we got to know each other very well and, you know, worked on a lot of different campaigns and a lot of different issues and, really got to become very good friends with Carlton and I think the absolute world of him. And so you've gone on and done many different things since, leaving the Badger State. But one of the things that we talked about that really stuck out in my head last week was when we talked about the 2020 election, and we talked about the fact that when you were a Milwaukee official with the Trump campaign, some of the stuff that went down, it was a really kind of a shocking thing to hear the state director telling you to throw a wet blanket over Milwaukee and jam the phone lines to transport companies, and what was it, wreak havoc, I think is what they...
Yep, his exact words.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I've been called by a few different news outlets about that, to be honest. And so I think they were very interested in that, and I don't think we've heard the last of that story. In fact, I know we haven't. So it was really a shocking thing to hear. But you know,
and if I could interject
real quick,
I would just say that when it comes to just the level of shock, that I think Steve Bannon said it best, and I mean, I hate to quote him in any semi-flattering way, but the entire goal of the Trump campaign was to just flood the zone with excrement.
Yes.
And they do so many shocking things, like ever since he descended from the escalator, that, yes, this is shocking. Yes, it was wrong. It was still 4 years ago, and yet it's like almost day by day, Trump is finding new ways to top it, and the officials within his campaign are finding just new ways to just dull our senses to what they are willing to do to get back into power.
So is that kind of how, you know, we're talking about inside baseball, is that kind of how that, like what that strategy is? It's just there's so much that's out there, so many things that are said and done and talked about, and so many like, shock value instances that it's like, okay, well, I said that yesterday, but check this out. And so like you forget about the crazy stuff from yesterday and you're focusing on the crazy stuff from today. Is that how that goes? Like, that's intentional.
It's very intentional. I mean, it is something that you would see just straight out of any authoritarian or aspiring authoritarian's playbook. And we used to be in a time where our leaders were guided by a sense of virtue. And that's what makes Trump and his movement unique in all of American history, is that Barack Obama, for wherever you agreed with him or disagreed with him, there were times where the court or Congress told him no, and he just threw his hands up and said, that is how the system works. Mm-hmm. George W. Bush the same way. And all the other presidents before them, both those presidents and their parties were guided by a sense of both restraint and virtue, whereas Trump, as we saw in the Access Hollywood tape and every other facet of his life, he is not guided by that. And right. Unfortunately, the entire Republican Party, and I would definitely love to get into just some of the stories from whenever I left the Trump campaign and went down to Georgia.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk
about
that.
To see just how quickly that metastasized.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. And, you talk about previous presidents and all of that, and I remember, you know, the first real, like, campaign that I can kind of look at and remember was, you know, like Bush and Gore, and the one thing that from Bush to Gore to Kerry and Obama and McCain, I remember that famous moment when the woman in the audience at a John McCain event said, "Oh, he's a Muslim. He's this. He's that." And John McCain took the microphone from her and said, "No, you're saying these things, and he truly is a wonderful man. He has a great family. We just happen to disagree on some things." And, like, you know, the common decency that would exist between two people that just have some differences, that's gone, because on one side there is someone who is not in any way, shape, or form fit to be looked at in with the lens of this is a decent man.
And you would just sit there and just look at, I think, from Jefferson and Adams, the very first transition from one party to another, you just see so many examples in our history of whenever a political party was defeated, and even in some of the crazy circumstances that surrounded the 2000 election, one thing a lot of Trump people will sit there and say, well, Al Gore questioned the integrity of the result. But I go back to them as, like, whenever the Supreme Court said, this is the decision, Gore said, okay, mm-hmm. I accept the decision. Yeah. I wish President Bush well. We still have not ever heard Donald Trump ever say the words, I lost the 2020 election.
No.
Joe Biden is going to be our president. I disagree with him, but I wish him well for our country's sake. And even Barack Obama, even the fact that Trump questioned his citizenship, even though Trump called him the father of ISIS and so many horrible things.
I forgot about that.
Obama still sat there in the White House, looked Trump in the eye, shook his hand and said, we're going to do whatever we can to make you a successful president. And that is the difference between Trump and everybody else that has come before him.
Yeah. And, you know, that's profound. And it's, you know, and I was talking with someone who is a huge Trumper. And, you know, and trying to, you know, talk some, like the show, try to be rational about, you know, hey, I might have some conservative ideology, but, you know, it's like, I can't get down with that. And his idea was, look at how the media has treated this man and his family and all of these things. They have put Donald Trump through the ringer, and how they've, you know, just put his family up, and they've ridiculed. It's like, what are you doing to Joe Biden, though? You know, like, this is the same stuff. And, you know, and then I bring up the fact that, well, you know, there was not a peaceful transition of power. What do you mean? He left. He got in the helicopter and left. And it's like, I mean, yeah, kind of. He didn't, like, start a war. He tried to. He didn't start the war. But He didn't attend the ceremony like everybody has, like Al Gore did when George W. Bush won the election. Al Gore was there as in his role as the vice president. So, like, you know, it's there's so many excuses that's put out by people to just gloss over so many of the reasons and the, you know, examples of why he is unfit.
And I would like to just, I mean, just take a moment. And I mean, we just lost O.J. Simpson the other day. So, I mean, it's like the 90s coming back to haunt us again. Right, but right. It's been the same thing almost ever since Bill Clinton won the White House. And I can say this, too. I'm very much a partisan person. I still am a conservative, and I will still take my policy issues with Democrat presidents and administrations. Fair. But the thing was that, like, when Clinton won the White House, it was seen as not just a defeat of the Republican Party, but almost an existential way, I mean, threat to America. And that was the way that Rush Limbaugh, Newt Gingrich, and the rise of the modern conservative movement framed that transition. And it went even into overdrive when we had our first black president elected. Mm. And you would have thought that, I mean, they were going to have a march through down to the White House from the Capitol with people carrying the Communist Manifesto, the way that Fox News, Glenn Beck, and all these people framed it. And there was one person who was watching and taking notes through all of this, and that was Donald Trump.
Right, exactly, and right.
Everything is existential. Yep. Every time you lose, it's fraudulent. And the table was already set for Trump. That is the one thing, is that he did not create this situation, but, and this is something that, I mean, I, as a former Republican operative, I mean, I have my soul searching moments about, I'm sure that you do, Mark, as someone who was a leader in the party, that we were part of that system. We could tell ourselves that we were appealing to the better angels of people's nature, but there was so much around us that whenever Trump came down the escalator, it was just like a light switch flipping, and we woke up in a world that we did not recognize.
Right. This is my penance. This is what I'm doing to make up for it all. As we talk to Carlton Huffman here, former Republican operative on the Rational Revolution, I'm Mark Becker. Come on back. We'll see you in a little bit.
From the center, WRCE.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You got to rise above the rest.
Oh my goodness. Just leave this song go and have a great time here. Mark Becker, welcome back. We are on the Rational Revolution talking with former Republican operative and dear friend of mine, Mr. Carlton Huffman. We were talking about, you know, the stage was set for a lot of chaos to happen, from the election to other things. But I also wanted to talk about a different experience that you had. It's one that really it kind of captivated the country for a little while, too. It's funny, like, Carlton, you've had all of these experiences, and it's, you know, you've been where, like, the craziest things have happened, and it's like, there's my buddy, you know, in
very much a Forrest Gump existence in that.
Yes.
Regard.
Oh my gosh, it's nuts. And so, you know, as people can hear, he's a Southern guy. He got to go down south, go Dawgs. I threw up a little bit as a Tennessee fan saying that. You went down to Georgia.
Yes, it was something that I had in mind whenever the campaign was getting into the waning days. I wanted to get out.
What campaign was that?
Go ahead.
You're talking about the Trump campaign. Got it. Yeah.
Yes, I was wanting to get out. I was wanting to get away from the craziness and the chaos. And I had an opportunity through a friend to go down there for what we knew was going to be at least one Senate runoff, because one of the incumbent Republicans had retired, and therefore there was a special election that was assuredly going to lead to 9 weeks of overtime. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this is my exit ramp. This is something where I can step away from the chaos of the Trump campaign. We can just go
take
back
a breath,
to doing normal Republican things. And and then it ended up being a double runoff with control of the United States Senate entirely on the line. And I thought, just in my heart of hearts, and this was a little bit of, I think, wishful and overly optimistic thinking on my part, that it was going to just go away, that the craziness of the questioning of the integrity of the election was going to go away, and I wasn't going to have to deal with any of that. And I was very, very wrong, and I knew I was very wrong whenever I walked into a room at the Georgia Republican Party headquarters, and who did I run into but... She wasn't sworn in yet, but I knew very much who she was, and that was Miss Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, God, no, you did?
Basically haranguing. Yes, she was in the room haranguing election lawyers about affidavits claiming election fraud and demanding that they do something about it.
Oh, she's nuts. Oh, man. That's
and
crazy.
It only got worse from there. Sent to Southwest Georgia, and this is whenever I knew. I mean, just that there was not going to be a clean break, that there was not going to be an escape for any of us in the experience. Whenever I went to a meeting of one of the local Republican parties, and this was a week after the election, so we had seen a lot of the stuff on Facebook claiming election fraud, a lot of stuff centered around Milwaukee, ironically, with my experience, and we go into the meeting and we're just talking about, hey, we're going to do everything we can to keep control of the United States Senate in Republican hands. And all the activists wanted to talk about was the supposed fraud. What was supposed to be a 45-minute meeting turned into 2.5 hours.
Oh my God.
Of people haranguing their local representatives, asking what they were going to do to stop the steal.
As we're talking to Carlton Huffman here in the Rational Revolution, you were working for what campaign at the time?
I was working for the National Republican Senate Committee, and our job was to help with getting David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler back into the United States Senate.
That's right. That was did you meet them? How were they?
I mean, I did not meet Kelly in that experience. I did meet Senator Perdue. And I will sit there and say it was something I've experienced. I think all of us who've taken that step away from just the normal Republican world, where we just put on our team jerseys and just say red versus blue, go red all the time.
Yeah.
It was quickly striking to me that someone who was as smart and accomplished as David Perdue whenever I met him, and then Kelly Loeffler, very accomplished businesswoman, how quickly they were willing to jump into bed with people like Marjorie Taylor Greene to do anything they could to win an election.
Right. That's just it. Those people would never be in the same social circles. And Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue, I would imagine would have some sensible and rational discussions. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene would come in and just firebomb everything. It's just I don't understand. I don't get that, but continue. I'm sorry.
And I mean, it just proceeded throughout the entire election that we were thinking that if Georgia just behaved normally, that we were going to be just fine, that we would win the election, just get the normal turnouts, because that's what Georgia had always done. But it's one of those things that political operatives and campaign people will describe as a sixth sense, that you get a sinking feeling that something is slipping away from you. And that entire last week of the campaign, you could just feel things were just building up. And this was around the time, too, that Trump made the call to the Secretary of State there in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Demanding that he find the 11,000, however many votes.
I just need you to find 11,000 votes, right? Right.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it was just devastating in terms of just everything that we were trying to focus on, that we were just trying to sit there and say, keep Joe Biden's agenda in check. They're going to spend too much money. Just everything that we thought that Republican voters would care about. But you find out at the end of the day that the bulk of these primary voters, the ones who listen to talk radio, who listen to a conservative talk radio, that is, we love the Rational Revolution.
Oh, yes.
But you listen to the ones who watch Fox News and Newsmax every day. Yeah. They want the vitriol. They want the combative nature of everything that Trump and his acolytes give them.
Right.
And so everything that we were trying to do was falling flat. All people wanted to talk about was stop the steal. And you could say, unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, that's not what the majority of Georgia voters were looking for. And so on January the 5th, the Democrats, for the first time in the modern era of Georgia, won both Senate seats and won runoffs.
So this was,
and elected the first African American to a Senate seat in the Deep South as a Democrat.
Yeah, isn't that, that's historic. We got about minute left. So this was the election in Georgia was on January the 5th is when everything that was that was the day. Okay, so
and we
nothing crazy happened around that time.
We can get into what happened the next day.
Yes, we're gonna talk about that. I think on the other side of the break here, it's been it's really interesting to kind of feel the buildup of what is about to happen in the history of our country. And I don't think that story has really been told. You know what I mean? I don't think that we're past or we've accepted what really happened here on that day. We've got Carlton Huffman here, a former Republican operative, dear friend of mine on the Rational Revolution. See you in a little bit.
Is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An Israeli security official telling ABC News that based on specific intelligence, there are wheels in motion for an Iranian attack on Israel in retaliation for a strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria that killed two Iranian generals. Schools and educational institutions remain closed across Israel, but hundreds are in the streets of Tel Aviv at this hour. Anti-Netanyahu protesters, as they have every weekend for months, calling for more to be done to return Israeli hostages being held in Gaza. A deadly attack at a Sydney, Australia shopping mall. Authorities say a man began stabbing shoppers, killing at least six people, wounding multiple others. New South Wales Police Commissioner Karen Webb.
But there's no suggestion that there was anyone targeted, but that could change, and we will only know that in time.
The suspect shot and killed by an officer. Jury selection in Donald Trump's New York criminal trial scheduled to start Monday morning. This is ABC News.
Farmers and ranchers have a lot of choices to make. When it comes to your crop insurance needs, the team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services can simplify it all for you.
The Brewers clobber Baltimore. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers jumped out to an early lead. Top of the second, Gary Sanchez went yard at Camden Yards.
Here's Gary Sanchez looking for his first hit of the season. Sanchez drills one deep left field. That is trouble. It is gone. A two-run homer for Gary Sanchez, and the Brewers are up 2-0.
Bally Sports Wisconsin, the final of the Brewers 11-1 over the Orioles. Home runs for the Brewers Sanchez, Willie Adames, and William Contreras. Christian Yelich left the game early with a sore back. The series continues in Baltimore. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard sat out last night's game against the Thunder. Milwaukee ended up losing 125-107. NFL, the Packers tailgate tour continues in Madison. And Oshkosh, with a new 4-3 defense, I asked Kenny Clark, do you think you'll be playing more inside?
Yeah, definitely.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills,